Hey, everybody. Welcome to VSpeak's Conversations with Heart and Soul. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host, and I'm real excited today to have a lively conversation with the lovely and the beautiful Ray Goff, who is the Senior VP and Chief Administrative Officer of St. Joe. St. Joe, guys, like the largest landowner in Florida. Welcome to the podcast, Ray.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy that you're here. So St. Joe's been around, well, for about 100 years, right?
Since 1936.
Okay. And so it has so much legacy and history. And when I was thinking about all the things that we can talk about, which are going to be varied topics because you are so significant in the state of Florida and everything that is happening here on multiple levels, but we haven't heard too much about it over the years because you're a publicly traded company and that has a whole host of things that go along with it so that you can't like jump into the pool of, just doing it like people who are not a publicly traded company.
Right.
And then I had heard about you and the position that you held several months ago and hadn't met you yet, but recently we both attended the Seaside Institute sponsored Mobility Charrette with some great guys that, were here, Mike Dover and Jeff Speck, analyzing, what could be done and just Seaside Institute performing an advocacy role and bringing all of the players to be. And I saw you walk in the room and I turned around. I go, that's Ray Goff. I go, oh, that is so great. Beautiful young woman.
Thank you.
And you are hold this position at St. Joe. And I just gave St. Joe an attagirl when I saw that you had held this position. And you've been there for 20 years, so you earned it, you own it. You are a native, born and bred in Dofeniac Springs, which just is such a rich story, too. And you were saying that you have worked for your boss, who was the CEO of the company for 21 years. For 20 years. So
yes.
Talk about that relationship. Yes. and St. Joe in general and when you got this position as well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for saying that.
You're welcome.
I've been blessed to work there. I absolutely love it. It's an incredible company with a lot of really cool people. But I started 20 years ago. May was my 20-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
I started, thank you, when we started to develop Watercolor. So we had just built the inn at Watercolor there. And I started on our HR team. I was an HR assistant doing support work for our HR team. We were growing. We had about 500 people in the region at the time. We had Arvida was our home building arm of the company at the time. And so we were just very active in this area, and our team was growing rapidly. So I started there. And my role has just changed a lot over the years. It's kind of morphed into a variety of different things. I've kind of done every position on our HR team over the years, and I still oversee HR today, but I also oversee IT and marketing and kind of our corporate support functions and different things, working with our board of directors, corporate compliance, things like that.
Amazing.
Yes, it's been so much fun. But I've worked directly with George, our current CEO, who's been the CEO since 2015. I've worked with him for, all 20 of those years, but really closely starting in 2010 when we moved our corporate headquarters to Northwest Florida. We were based in Jacksonville for a really long time. But we moved our headquarters to Watersound in 2010, and then we promoted him to our CEO in 2015. So really since that time, we've kind of worked in lockstep with one another on different things that we're doing, and he's incredible. Yeah. We're blessed to have him.
Yeah, he is. So the first project, the Keystone project being Watercolor, it is a beautiful community, and, you did an amazing job on that. And you being neighbors with Seaside, like, I think the two complement each other incredibly. It was a really big initiative for what you brought forth, and then, continued along shortly after was Watersound, which is a beautiful community. And then Watersound Origins was next, right? And significant. And then I was listening to a podcast that you were on recently last night too, where, because that was so much about what you were doing here with these homes and developments that were catering to, let's call it the 1%.
Yes.
Okay. And St. Joe recognized that you were going to have different strategies for growth, and you wanted to cater to varied segments of the population. And then we'll talk about all of those too. But one question that I have to ask you is, when did you recognize at St. Joe that there was going to be, like, obviously big picture for growth, right? You just can't cater to one segment mm-hmm. of the market. And you have so much land, like the largest landholder, and, you know, you can build so much, you can do like almost whatever you want because you have the means to do that. When did that strategy start moving out in so many different directions?
So that really started in 2015. We really kind of had a shift a little bit in the way that we approached our land holdings and what we wanted to develop. And we really started working around that time to really diversify our portfolio. So we currently operate in residential, commercial, and hospitality real estate. We're a developer and asset manager in each of those categories. But each of those, we've worked very hard to diversify. Mm-hmm. Whether it's residential product, we want to have something at all different price points. And it certainly wasn't that way in the past. You know, we definitely had an affinity to develop, you know, more of the higher end product. And we've realized that that's not sustainable for us as an organization. But beyond that, just the region as a whole really needs a diverse diverse offering of products in order to really be able to cater to more than just the person who's looking to purchase a second or third vacation home, so to speak. So really around that time, we started to diversify our portfolio mm-hmm. and in each of our segments, commercial, mm-hmm. We have a very diverse offering of commercial, you know, space available, as well as hospitality. Mm-hmm. This year alone, we've opened 5 new hotels already. We have one more that's under construction. That will bring our hotel portfolio to 12 hotels that we own and operate.
Wow. And they're very diverse. Are the 5 hotels in this area?
They're between Bay and Walton counties.
Wow.
And, you know, before we had just a luxury boutique hotel mm-hmm. to offer, mm-hmm. which are incredible. They're beautiful. Watercolor right. Inn, the Pearl, mm-hmm. which we now own.
In Rosemary
mm-hmm. Beach. But we, you know, we really diversified that portfolio too to offer something to every type of traveler, whether mm-hmm. they're here on business or vacation, mm-hmm. and no matter what price point they mm-hmm. can, you know, they can afford. Mm-hmm. So
you just opened the Greenway, right? On 30A too?
Yes. So yeah. the Lodge 30A is,
Lodge 30A.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's really well done.
Thank you.
And the tenant mix is amazing. Free people. How do you do that? That's really great.
Free people is great. I was personally excited about that.
Yes, too. Many of us were. We just couldn't believe it. Yeah. I felt like, oh, where am I? This is great. But everything, you know, Olives and Salty Butcher and Linen and Sand, Linen and Sand, and just everything that's there. It's so nice to have that on 30A. And it was, like I said, very, very well done.
Thank you.
Kudos
the price point is different, you know, for us and also for 30A. There really aren't hotel options on 30A.
I know. It was.
So we have Watercolor Inn and the Pearl and Rosemary right. Beach, yeah. but we didn't have anything in between, and yeah. we don't have other hotel options really. So the price point for that one is obviously different than yeah. what you would get yeah. at
but
the
so
others.
But so well done.
But so, yeah, and it's just beautiful. It yeah. really is.
It really is.
And now we have, you know, Camp Creek Inn.
Right. I got to talk about that in
yes,
a second.
Yes, which is very exciting.
But let's and then let me just ask you a question about all the retail that's going on at Origins, because I can't keep up with it. But when I drive to and from work, I'm like, well, what is going on? Because it looks different than it looked the day before. Like, it's changing so rapidly. How much square footage is going in there?
I don't have a good number on that.
Like, it looks like a lot.
It is a lot.
Okay.
It is a lot. I would say it's going to be very similar over time to Grand Boulevard in Sandestin.
Yeah, okay. That big.
And I get very excited when I go in our commercial segment leader's office and I kind of look at his plans and what's the latest store that we're kind of considering there? Because we've got some really cool ones that we
are
contemplating there.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's exciting.
Yes. So a lot of, you know, there'll be office space available mm-hmm. there. And then, of course, restaurants, retail. You know, we now have Publix, which everyone was excited
yes.
to get in that community. But we've got beyond that a lot of other great retail that'll be coming mm-hmm. through there
yeah.
over time.
Yeah, that's what's the build out on that? Like, when will that be complete? Then I'll know how. Much
yeah, it's going to be a little while.
Okay.
We're still in the
very
planning
large
phase.
Then. Okay,
it is. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So I want to talk about something that I'm in love with because I saw it a couple months ago and I had dinner at your restaurant there, A&R, and I know there's several, but this is at Camp Creek Country Club, the new, I mean, it's just amazing. I didn't even feel like I was here. I don't know how to explain that, but when I drove through the gates and, you know, Camp Creek Golf Course has always been one of my favorite golf courses because I think it's so beautiful. So, you know, I know what that looks like and I know it's beautiful, but then when I, you know, rounded the corner and I saw, like, let's just say this magnificent country club compound, maybe that's not the right way to say it, but I'm just saying it like that. And then when I walked into, you know, the building there where A&R is, what would you call that building?
That's our inn, Camp Creek Inn.
That's the inn. And that is beautiful.
Yes.
And on the green of, I don't know what hole it is there, but it's absolutely beautiful. And then we had dinner at the restaurant. I couldn't believe it.
Thank you. We're so excited about Camp Creek. Yes. It's a beautiful hotel. Very serene.
Yes.
So, you know, a lot of people have said that same thing.
They
go there and you can really and truly just disconnect and just,
you feel,
you
like
know,
you're
relax.
Somewhere else.
Yes. And we call it, we say member for a stay.
Yes.
Because when people stay there, they have access to the private club membership facility. So you're staying on Camp Creek Golf Course. It's a 75-room boutique inn. And we have inside the restaurant A&R, and then we also have 1936, which is the bar area there.
So beautiful.
It's beautiful. We have a new chef there. It's incredible.
He is. What is his name?
Joe Truix.
Yeah, he is really, really good.
He is really good. We're very thankful to have him.
Yes. And tell everybody what A&R stands for and represents.
Apalachicola Northern Railroad, which is a railroad that the company owns.
And still owns.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yeah. And,
yes.
And it's so well done. The food is great and everything. And then there are other restaurants there as well that I didn't go to.
Yes. Bark and Brine, which is on the side where the fitness center is. We have a big wellness center there, which is beautiful, state-of-the-art facility. And then it overlooks our pool area, which is a very, you know, a large resort style pool with a lazy river. We have a Bark and Brine restaurant there and it's more casual, you know, barbecue style.
Yeah. And then another, are there three or they're
just those three.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. They're absolutely amazing. You had talked to Jane Barr with CVHN about us hosting a dinner there for the Destin Charity Wine Auction.
Yes.
So I get to go there on the fam trip with David, you know, like a couple months ago. And I'm just like blown away. I'm telling everybody about it and how it's like an oasis in the middle of like, you know, our area. And then Jane had asked if we would host the dinner, which we haven't done before. And then where are we going to have it? And I'm like, oh, I really want to have it somewhere unbelievable. And then I'm like, oh, I wonder if we could have it at A&R. And then Jane said she had bumped into you in like an impromptu, accidental meeting, and that you said, well, Destin Charity Wine Auction was on the podcast yesterday, and they are ecstatic about the fact that we're going to have the dinner there. And I could not think of a better place to have it.
That's wonderful. I agree. It's a terrific, terrific facility for that. Dave Merriman and I have already talked about it. He's our general manager there. Jane and I know one another from a long time ago, and she's a special lady.
She is.
Yeah.
She really is. She heads the CBHN and is a founder and has just worked that organization to be what it is today. And
yes.
Yeah, she's amazing. But I'm so excited for that. It's the greatest part about it, and I don't know how you went about that strategy that you called it, like stay for a...
Member for a stay.
Member for a stay. That's brilliant. Because anyone can go and partake of that by being a guest for a short period of time. And I think that is amazing.
We want people to be able to see what our club membership has to offer. You know, we've got over 2,000 club members in our program right now. The Water Sound Beach Club is kind of our flagship property that everybody thinks of when they think of, you know, Water Sound Club. But we have so much more than that, and we've really worked to enhance our club member portfolio, particularly as our club membership grows.
Right.
We need more.
You need more.
We need more facilities, more space for them to enjoy. But that's a big new part of our club membership package, and having people to be able to stay at the inn and then experience that is really cool.
Yeah, it's Are people just raving about it?
Yes, yeah. They love that. Yeah. Yes.
I'm sure you probably thought they would be raving about it because you brought to market something that was so beautiful. But I was impressed.
Well, the other thing that's really neat about it is it's not right on 30A.
Right.
So you're very, very close mm-hmm. to it. You can be at the beach in just a matter of a few minutes.
Right.
But you're kind of tucked away. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what I see when I go over there for different things is, you know, people really enjoying outdoors. They're running down mm-hmm. the paths. They're mm-hmm. doing all the different things outside. It's very serene. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, of course, golfing. It's right there beside the hotel.
Right. So... just so that the listeners can understand all that's underneath the clubs, it's also Shark's Tooth at Wild Heron, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then you have Camp Creek and then Origins Golf Course. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, the big flagship is like the first, right, which would be the Water Sound, which is beautiful. And you put a new – there was a big renovation like 5 years ago.
Yes. Right? We added a new pool, a new restaurant there, just, again, to expand because of the growth with our club membership and just being able to have enough space for everyone, particularly around the peak season.
Right.
But, yes, so, and that has beach access, of course. It's right on the beach there. So, but, yeah, two pools there. A new restaurant facility.
And I heard rumors, so I don't know if you can say this yet, but there might be a marina coming on deck. Can you talk about that?
Yes, okay, we actually do have a new marina that we're planning on the Intercoastal Waterway at the Latitude Margaritaville community.
Okay.
We already have two. So we have Bay Point Marina in mm-hmm. Panama City mm-hmm. Beach, and then we have the one in Port St. Joe, Point South Marina mm-hmm. there. So those we've had for a while have been under some reconstruction after Hurricane Michael.
Right.
But we do have a new one that we're planning closer to the Walton County area.
But you can say that, right?
Yes, we can talk about that. Yes, we've disclosed that. And and that one, we're planning there, actively planning that right now. It'll be on the Intercoastal Waterway.
That's a huge portfolio of, and we haven't even really touched the surface on some other things, so... how many employees are employed at St.
Joe? We have about 1,200 employees mm-hmm. today. We only have about 50 employees on our corporate team, kind of our core team mm-hmm. that works from our corporate office. We have 1,200 scattered throughout mm-hmm. Walton and Bay counties. Mm-hmm. We have a couple over in Gulf County, too. Mm-hmm. We call them the Lone Rangers. They're not, you know, they're out there by themselves holding down the fort on a couple of communities that we have there. Yeah. But
I mean it's an ample amount of employees and it's really respectable, but it's also small for the enormity that you're doing.
Yes, and that's by design. You know, so in our hospitality assets, we obviously have to staff them appropriately for mm-hmm. you know what they do, what they service, you know, guests in our hotels and restaurants and that kind of thing. But our corporate team, we intentionally keep mm-hmm. kind of lean and mean, mm-hmm. and that's a lot of what you know, George and I work on together and others, our segment leaders and mm-hmm. others in the organization, because we've grown our revenues consistently and our overhead has stayed the same. And that's been intentional. So we do a lot today mm-hmm. with the same amount of people. We've mm-hmm. just continued to grow and expand our portfolio. And people say, how do you do that? Well, we do a lot of partnering with joint ventures.
Right.
You know, we engage people who are just best at what they do. We know we can't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
I will say we haven't always behaved that way. I think mm-hmm. there were times as a company we mm-hmm. acted like we could build mm-hmm. everything, do everything ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had to take an honest look at ourselves and go, goodness, we aren't really as good at developing apartment communities as this organization is. So let's partner with them because we have what they need, mm-hmm. which is usually land and capital, and they have what we need, which is expertise in their subject matter area.
Well, that's so smart to be able to see it and be able to, you know, pivot, right? Because, yeah, it's really, you can tell that St. Joe's different, and I never really knew if that was purposeful or not, but now that I'm talking to you, I understand that it was.
Mm-hmm. We are very different. Yeah. I've, as we said before, I've been there 20 years, so I've seen the evolution of our company, and I would say we're culturally very different than mm-hmm. we've just evolved over the years. We've had incredible leaders throughout mm-hmm. the time who've been great visionaries on, you know, handed this amount of land and what are we going to do with it? And mm-hmm. and so they've had great vision. But culturally today, I think we're quite different than we have been in the past. And it has been intentional. And we really today, you know, there was a long period of time where we didn't really talk a lot about what we were doing.
I know.
And I think we went through a couple of different phases where we were very active with storytelling and, you know, just really telling our story. And then we went through a quiet phase a bit. And I think now we're just really trying to help people understand who we are and what we're doing. And
well, it's refreshing because, you know, people do want to know about what St. Joe's doing because, well, one, you're so large and you are a publicly traded company too. So, you know, the more somebody knows about that too, that helps them in their stock and all that, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's so refreshing.
Thank you.
You are so good at being the spokesperson and ambassador for that. And I know with your human resource background, there's so many components of you and your history that make you seemingly the absolute perfect person for this job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Wow, so many things to talk about. So Bay County, I know we've like probably touched, you know, somewhat centrically been speaking about 30A and all that's going on here, which is amazing. But you've made a big dent into Panama City Beach and going into Bay County. And so I read from the notes that David had sent over that, is this right? Am I recalling this correctly? You have 110 acres in Bay County?
We have 110,000 acres in the Bay-Walton sector plan,
okay.
But we have about 170-something thousand acres total. Most of that is in Bay County. That spans between both Bay and Walton and Gulf, but most of it is in Bay County. And 110,000 acres is our Bay-Walton sector plan.
Okay, and that is equivalent to Atlanta?
It's actually bigger. Atlanta, just for scale, so people, because it kind of helps to have that
reference. It does help to know, like, how much more can be developed.
Yes, Atlanta's, I think, 75,000 acres, so it's much larger than Atlanta. But one thing that is really special and unique about that area is we've already put 53,000 of those acres in conservation.
Yes.
So a lot of times people don't really understand how much we've put into conservation because we want the area to feel, you know, look and feel, you know.
Responsible growth.
Yes,
that's what I
exactly.
think it is. Yeah.
And we've put, as an organization, about the same amount of acres in conservation that we actually own today. So we've put over time 170,000 acres in conservation throughout the state of Florida. A lot of the state parks and wildlife refuge areas, those were actually created with St. Joe land. A lot of times people don't realize that.
I didn't realize that.
A lot of them are. And then, of course, we have donated land locally for different infrastructure needs that we feel passionate about and we know are vital to like a successful region.
Mm-hmm.
The land that Ascension Sacred Heart sits on today was donated by St. Joe. The land that the airport sits on today and the ECP airport was donated by St. Joe. And there are a lot of other, you know, Frank Brown Park in Panama City Beach, different places like that.
I knew about some of them, but I didn't know about Frank Brown Park. And I forgot about the hospital. That is just amazing. And these stories need to be told, or people need to be reminded of it, because I find, because I've lived here for 31 years and I came when it was a much different, smaller, less populated community, and being able to live and grow my own business and then watch other people do the same, obviously people that I know, and everything that Robert and Daryl did and St. Joe and the big leaders and Jim Rester.
Yes.
Yeah, he was there for so long also, and he was really significant in bringing forth watercolor.
Yes.
And even water sound too, right?
He was involved in that.
Yeah, and so, but just to know, I guess what I'm trying to say is there's so much legacy because time has gone by, and the story is very big to tell because time has gone by.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do look back and you understand like the legacy of St. Joe and the legacy of what Seaside meant to growing 30A and all these significant things, I'm like, it's very nostalgic and quite amazing to like be able to have been here then and now and seen it all happen.
Yes.
I mean, like truly amazing.
It's very special.
When, I want to talk about so many other things, but let me just segue right now because I'm going to forget this. So when you went to the Seaside Institute, Charette, what did you think about all the different groups that were there? And can I ask you if you feel like there's hope that a coalition of unity can happen.
I think so, for sure. I mean, it's look, anytime you're trying to do something with a large group like that, it takes a lot of concerted effort. But I think that we're poised to be able to do that.
Yeah.
We are really passionate about the subject matter that was being discussed at that charrette.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking a lot about trail connectivity in our area. And if you visit any of our communities, you'll see that we, I know you know, but other listeners, you'll see that that's a really big and important focus for us as an organization. And we love that because we want our communities to look and feel a certain way. We want people to love to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of different unique amenities and things like trails completely change the feel and vibe for the community, but beyond that, just our entire region.
Yeah.
And I think we've got all the right people, and the Seaside Institute is a terrific group to help bring all of those together to really be able to talk about this. And it starts with the exact thing that we did the other day, where, you know, you start talking about it, you get the right individuals together and see how we can partner with one another and make it happen.
Mm-hmm. I was encouraged by that. I had not been in many meetings like that for a really long time. But so many different fractions are very, very passionate about the same thing, and they want the same thing. So obviously, I think that's a turning point that it can happen because there's a common goal.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then you can help a lot. St. Joe can help a lot as a really big player in facilitating as well. So I think it was like amazing that you were there and should be in all of those type of initiatives that are coming around. So I'm glad. Christy Milliken, I think, invited you to that. Yeah, she's the director. Yeah, I think she's doing a fantastic job.
Yes.
I mean, absolutely so good. You could feel like there's a new day dawning with that, like a next chapter of the Seaside Institute, which is super exciting, you know, being able to do that. So we'll go back to Panama City because I know it's a big deal with your recent wildly successful Margaritaville.
Yes. Margaritaville, Latitude Margaritaville Water Sound has tremendous following. I think in January of this year, 2023, we sold our 1,000th home.
And how
many
are there?
So we're well over that today.
In total.
Well, we are actively developing the first phase, which is 3,500 homes in the first phase.
Okay.
But beyond that, that's in the heart of the Bay-Walton Sector Plan.
Uh-huh.
We have entitlements for 170,000 dwelling units in that area within that entire sector plan. So while the first phase is 3,500 homes, we envision that community being much larger, but it will develop over time, obviously depending on the market. And how, you know, demand goes for that community. But we're well over 1,000 homes in that community today, and it has an incredible following.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very, you know, it's based on kind of the Jimmy Buffett lifestyle, food and fun and escapism, as they say. And it's very, you can just sense it when you're in that community. They have a lot of fun together.
Well, they're just in pictures that you see and just the way people talk about it, that they're moving over there like they're going to the greatest place on earth, and a lot of camaraderie. Like the people that are moving there want to socialize and they want to be active, and they are choosing this lifestyle that you have brought to market, basically. So if you, which I know you will, like round out the master plan with like the 170, do you think it will always stay in that 50? Is it 55 or 50 and up that can?
Well, for parts of that area, yes, but not the entire sector plan.
Okay, because I think that would be good if it wasn't.
Yes.
I think it needs to be. What do I know? I'm talking to St. Joe.
We agree with you. No, we do. We you know, we think that they're just like we've tried to diversify our, all of our different product types, same thing there. We want, we have, you know, a big need for active adult. There's a big following for that. But we also know that, you know, like Watersound Origins is an incredible community that caters to families. And there's actually all different types of buyers in Origins. There are retirees, but there are also a lot of families.
Yeah.
That land actually is contiguous with the land that's where we started Latitude Margaritaville. So eventually, many years from now, they will connect with one another at some point.
With the road, right?
With the sector plan, yes.
So that is down the road? That's not like imminent?
Yes, that's down the road.
Okay.
But over time, you know, all of that land, you know, is connected, and and communities will continue to grow. So there'll be a big product mix in there. Mm-hmm. And we do have, you know, over entitlements for 170,000. We've got entitlements for 22 million square feet of commercial space in that sector plan, over 3,000 hotel rooms. But again, it's something that will continue to develop over time as we see what the market demands.
Yeah, I think Panama City Beach and beyond is going to explode.
Yes.
And something that I don't think, I mean, maybe you're ready for it. I don't think we're ready for it, because I really think it's really poised to grow.
We agree. We actually have an article in our office that was published many, many years ago, and it said, Alfred I. DuPont asserts his faith in Bay County.
Oh, really?
And, you know, he's started the St. Joe Company,
right.
Going back to when he bought the land in the 20s, but the company was founded in 1936. The article is written not long after that, but it was saying how much he believes in that area and will continue to grow. We do, too.
Were some of the first developments back then that he put
there? We were quite different back then, because we operated in a paper company, industrial focus.
Right.
So we started, we had paper mills, sugar plantations, boxcar plants, railroads.
That you still operate
quite
today?
Different. We still own some of those assets.
Right.
We do still harvest timber on our rural land, but we don't do nearly as much of it today.
Right.
We don't own the paper mills. Yep. But, you know, our company was quite different back then, and then we had this shift to focus on development.
Right.
You know, in the 90s, really.
So I know you're a forward-thinking company, and that you're visionaries, and that you don't just, you know, you're not just looking at today, that you're looking at, you know, tomorrow. And I know you have a 50-year plan. Could you tell us about that?
Yes. So that actually is our Bay Walton sector plan, and we've put together kind of a regional framework around that area over what we think it would look like over those 50 years. We have the entitlements that I mentioned before, and have a lot of different ideas on kind of how that would evolve. But it really, so much of it is driven by the market, and we've started with different, you know, certain communities where we've started developing, and when we were trying to decide where Latitude Margaritaville Water Sound should go, we decided, you know, right there in the heart of the Bay Walton sector plan was really, for a few different reasons. Mm-hmm. It really kind of unlocked that area for us. It was really close to the Northwest Florida Beaches International Airport, very close to the beach. Right. But, you know, you can drive there in 10 minutes, but you're not, you know, kind of in the middle of it. So it was, that area is just something that we've put together that regional framework for, and it'll evolve and develop over time.
Mm-hmm. Foundations, philanthropy. Yes. We have one of the most generous communities that exist. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of charities and nonprofits on the podcast this week and in the past. And I've been to a lot of events where people seem to have an endless supply of money to keep bidding on at auctions. And I don't understand, like, what I see sometimes. But it's so great for people that need it and organizations to be able to do their good works. But I also know that St. Joe has been a huge proponent, endorsement with your dollars, and all of that. And tell me how much money you've given in charity and your philanthropy efforts.
Yes, so we started the St. Joe Community Foundation in 99, and since inception, we've given over $40 million back to Bay and Walton counties. This year
thank you.
I always say it's one of the funnest parts of my job, because I get to be the privilege of being a trustee on our foundation board. And I absolutely love, you know, going to our foundation board meetings and hearing the amazing work that all these nonprofits are doing in our area.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to be able to support them. Yeah. But this year alone, we've done over $4 million in grants. Last year, we did a little over $5 million, so we'll probably end somewhere around there again this year.
Yeah. So impressive.
It's exciting, and the work that these nonprofits do. And it's really just, for us, it's, we know that the entire ecosystem of the area needs to be healthy for us to be successful, mm-hmm. for people to want to live here. This is where we raise our families too. We want the area to be incredible and successful. And so we know how vital these organizations mm-hmm. are, and we love to support them. Mm-hmm. April Wilkes is our executive director of the foundation. She is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I met
her. She's the biggest heart.
Months ago at an event at the Great and Fitness where you had donated money for the boxing for mm-hmm. Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does an amazing job really getting in the community, mm-hmm. seeing where there are needs, mm-hmm. really interacting with our grant applicants on what they're doing and just learning about them. And we focus on cultural arts, healthcare, mm-hmm. education, and the environment. Okay.
One thing I want to tell you that we just sort of solidified yesterday with our editorial calendar, we are doing a very big feature on Camp Creek in the next issue, which is going to be here in 3.5 weeks.
That's wonderful.
So,
well, thank you.
You're
we
welcome.
Love that.
Yeah, and so we have all those great photos that, anyway, but you know I like have a big passion for it because I think it's amazing. So that's forthcoming. As well. We could talk for a lot longer, so maybe you can come back for part two at some point in time. I've thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you, and thank you for everything that you shared with us and everything you do for our community.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Okay. I love it.
You're welcome. I hope you enjoyed this. How could you not? The most well-spoken person I have ever seen. Thank you so much. Have a good day, everybody. Bye-bye.